Good morning, folk. It gives me great pleasure to greet you this morning. It is with Jesus' joy that I do so. I am so glad this morning that we can connect through the service, online service, and through the teaching that I'm about to release. I'm so grateful to God that we're alive. I'm so grateful to God this morning that all of you are well. In Jesus' name, those that are being affected by this virus will get well in Jesus' name. And I'm praying daily for you and for your welfare. I also take this opportunity to wish the mother of the house a very happy birthday. She is a great asset to me, to the family, and to the house of God, and of course, to the global church. She plays a pivotal role in ministry, and I'm so indebted to God, grateful for giving me somebody that is so motivational, someone that works so hard and labors in the field, and someone who loves God so dearly. So a very happy birthday to you, Val, in Jesus' name. This morning, I want to continue sharing on the spiritual father, spiritual son dyad. Last time I spoke to you, we covered the responsibility of an earthly father. We spoke on the love of the heavenly father. And then I said to you that I would love to share on spiritual fathering. And I entitled the last series of teachings that I want to do, the spiritual father, spiritual son, dyad. And the first part of this teaching, I covered the doctrine of spiritual fathering, the doctrinal position that we hold as Gate Ministries on spiritual fathering. Today, I wish to speak on spiritual covering, a very important and a very needful topic to be sharing, because immunity is received by believers when they understand spiritual covering. No one, no son of God can remain and operate in life outside a spiritual covering that God has delegated to a man that oversees a particular household of faith. In our context, God has ordained myself and Mama Val to be the spiritual covering over this house. And we will share different aspects of this spiritual covering and the consequences of not accepting spiritual covering over your life. And it can be devastating, can be detrimental, can be negative in the life of a believer if he despises spiritual covering. When I completed my teaching 3 weeks ago, when I started on the spiritual father and spiritual son dyad, I said that our God is methodical. He is not chaotic. If we want to be prosperous, both spiritually and naturally, then we must endeavor to know and function within His divine order. He has a divine order for sons. He has a divine order for fathers, spiritual fathers. He has a divine order for delegated authority. He has a divine order in way in which a local church ought to be operating. He has a divine order in how the fivefold ministry ought to be implemented as ministry gifts in a local house. He has an order in the way we should approach Him. He has an order in everything. So it is important that we see the order of God as far as spiritual covering is concerned. In 1 John 4:17, We concluded by saying, because as he is, so are we in this world. So if Jesus Christ was a son of God to his father, and as he is, so are we. We ought to be operating in the same wineskin or adopting the same model. And then we went on to say in 1 John 3:10, whoever does not practice righteousness, which is the standard of God the Father in every sphere of existence, then that person is not from God. So we are asked to be like him in the earth. Then we are asked to practice righteousness, which is the standard of God. And if we don't do that, then we are not of God. And then 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So this is a very concentrated, very specific order that God is giving to us as far as our relationship with him, our relationship between spiritual fathers and spiritual sons, and the relationship between spiritual brothers in a household of faith. We have to comply to these principles of God. If we do not, then we're in trouble with God. And we do not want to be oppositional to God. We want to adhere. We want to submit ourselves, especially in this time, the last days before the coming of Jesus Christ. God helps us. God help every one of us, that we won't be rebels, that we won't despise authority, that we will understand the principles of spiritual fathering, that we will come under an authentic covering, that we will be able to operate with joy in the house of God, and we will lose all technicality in our mindsets, and we will just submit ourselves and obey the principles of the Word of God. That's all it is, beloved, as we now go into this week's of teaching on spiritual covering. When we use the word covering, we get the picture of a child tucked in under the warmth and protection of a blanket, or a family enjoying the shelter and safety of their home while the tyranny of a storm rages outside. Before I teach on spiritual fathering, I would like to highlight to you the importance of spiritual covering. A refusal to come under a legitimate spiritual covering amounts to rebellion and lawlessness. And I want to endeavor next week to speak on the sin of lawlessness and rebellion and the consequences thereof, so that you are aware and you don't fall into the trap that the enemy will lay for you. As much as God has a particular order for a son, he has a very concentrated profile and ministry assignment for a spiritual father. It is now revealed that in these last days, before the coming of our Lord Jesus, he is examining and judging everyone in a ministry portfolio. All I can say as a spiritual father, it is a fearful thing for me to fall into the hands of a living God. David writes in Psalm 91 verse 1 and 2. I'm just touching on two verses in Psalm 91 verse 1 and 2, just to give you the picture of a covering, a general picture of covering. And when you have covering, you are protected. You have the shelter of his protection. You are provided for. You enjoy the peace of God, the shalom of God. Wholesome living is all tied up to the package of being under his protection, under his word, and washing yourself with these principles. The Bible says in Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and he is my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Note the words dwell and note the word abide. Note the word dwell and note the word abide. Okay? I want to share with you a very powerful key from the very first verse in Psalm 91. It's a prayer of protection, beloved. Read it with me. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This protection is for those under his covering. It is for those who dwell in the secret place. The word dwell, the Hebrew word for dwell is yashab, Y-A-S-H-A-B, which means to sit down, to remain, or to settle. So the very first thing that God wants you to do is to enjoy his protection by resting, by sitting down, and by settling down. Ah, that's great. His protection, his peace, his love, and other blessings flow into your life when you are in a place of rest. Let's camp on the word dwell just a little more. Let's meditate on what it means to rest or sit down. The Bible says that we are seated with Christ as at God's right hand. You find that in Ephesians 2:6 and Hebrews 1:3. The word seated is beautiful. It means that you're no longer standing and working. Under the old covenant, the priest had to offer the morning sacrifice at 9 a.m. and then remain standing for 6 hours until after the evening sacrifice at 3 p.m. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ was crucified at 9 a.m. and he hung on the cross for 6 hours until he died at 3 p.m., thus fulfilling the type of both the morning and the evening sacrifices. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 and 12 and read about this. Because Jesus became the final sacrifice, the work of the priest is done and he no longer has to stand, because our Lord Jesus cried, "It is finished," at Calvary. You read that in John 19, verse 30. We are today seated with Christ or in Christ in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6. We can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's a place of peace. It's a place of safety. It's a place of security, because the blood of our Lord Jesus has paid for every blessing of protection in Psalm 91. So you that have doubts on the protection of God, the healing of God, the wholesome power of God, the love of God expressed to us. If you have doubts on this, be rest assured, when you are in the secret place, all of these benefits become workable, become evident, becomes a must in your life. It's a place of peace, safety, and security. The Bible says we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's a place of peace, it's a place of safety, and a place of security because of the blood of Jesus. I'm repeating this. So say after me, we can dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It's a place of peace, it's a place of safety, and it's a place of security because of the blood of Jesus. Now, because of the completed work of our Lord Jesus, we can have free access into the presence of our Elohim, the Most High. We can abide under the shelter of the Almighty or our Shaddai. These two Hebrew names of God, Elyon and Shaddai, in the first verse of Psalm 91, alone helps to put our problems in perspectives, don't they? In and of ourselves, our present challenges may appear insurmountable. But when we are resting in the presence of El Elyon, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, Genesis 14:19, And when we abide under the shadow of El Shaddai, God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One, all of a sudden, our adversities don't seem so intimidating after all, even COVID-19. My prayer for you is that your perspective of God will be enlarged by the power of His living word. Whether you are dealing with a difficult financial situation, a sleep disorder, or plagued by a depressive or even suicidal thoughts, my desire is for you to discover a God who loves you and whose strong hands of protection are over your entire life. Amen. His divine protection isn't one-dimensional. It covers every area that concerns you. What a consolation to you and I that are facing challenges today, that have different questions that we need answers for, that we are wondering, where is God? God is right there with you if you allow Him to be your secret place. Let me tell you where the secret place of the Most High is. The secret place of the Most High is a place where you and are in Christ, where you and I are in Christ. So where is the secret place? The secret place is not a geographical location. It is a place in Christ. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you agree that being in Christ is to be in the safest hiding place? Do you agree with me? How did you get to be in Christ? By receiving the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Once you are born again as a believer, our Heavenly Father sees you in Christ. You are safe, you are protected, and you are secure in the hiding place. So the secret place of the Most High is being in Christ, the safest hiding place. I like to say that again. My secret place, my place of safety, my place of security, my place of provision, my place of peace, my place of power is in Christ. It's the safest hiding place. Remember how Noah was safe in the ark when the flood waters came? While Noah was not perfect, God saw him as righteous because of his faith in God. Hebrews 11:7. When the flood came, everyone outside the ark died, but Noah and his family were protected and saved. Why? Because they were in the ark, which is a type of Christ, who is our salvation. Acts 4:12. The ark didn't have windows along its sides, only near the roof. The truth here is that God does not want you to focus on all the darkness, the terror, and the evil that are around you and in the world. He wants you to look up and know that His Son is coming back for you. Amen. I want you to see something else. I believe there were times when Noah might have lost his balance and fallen as the storm waters crashed against the ark. But listen, Noah fell in the ark. He never fell out of the ark. Similarly, if you mess up, please don't fall out of Christ and thus His protection. Don't fall out of His covering, out of His protection. I believe that knowing you are the righteous in Christ makes you live responsibly and in honor to the Lord. You can read that in Romans 6:10 to 14. The revelation of our righteousness in Christ produces righteous living. Read that in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Beloved, the more you grow in your revelation and valuation of how Jesus' finished work has placed you in Him, in the secret place where you are safe, protected, and secure. Remember, after the cross, after the death on the cross, after the finished work of Jesus, we all have Christ as our secret place. The more you'll find your heart at rest when you understand this and indoctrinate yourself with the thought that Christ is my secret place. the more you'll find your heart at rest. Instead of being filled with worry and fears, something powerful takes place in your heart and in your outward circumstances when you begin to value being in Christ, in the secret place of the Father's care, His protection and love. Let me give you an illustration of what it means to value. Suppose I brought you an old dusty violin with two missing strings and I said to you, "Isn't this beautiful?" Your reaction would be, "That's not beautiful, that's old and worthless." But if I told you that it used to belong to a world-famous violinist, suddenly your appreciation of this dusty old violin will swell and you'd ask if you could hold it. What happened? Your appreciation of the violin changed when you understood its true value. Your appreciation of the object changed when you understood its true value. In the same way, I want to encourage you to value the preciousness of what it means to be in Christ, being in the secret place of inseparable closeness with Him, where we have His loving presence constantly with us, watching over us and protecting us. I strongly encourage you to keep hearing anointed teachings and preaching that keeps revealing who you are and what you have in Christ. Keep hearing grace-based teaching on God's promises to protect you, as well as praise reports of God's grace and protection over His people. Why? Because as you do, you'll begin to value being in the secret place more and more. As you do, you'll find your heart and mind more and more at rest in Him. You'll wake up every morning confident of His tender care, confident of His protection, confident of His preservation. Amen. You'll live life full of hope and zest instead of worry and fear, and see Him deliver and protect you from whatever the enemy may throw at you. My friend, the secret place speaks of a place in Christ, but it also speaks of intimacy, as it is a place of closeness. To be under the shadow of an object, you need to be close to that object. Beloved, being under the shadow of the Almighty speaks of closeness. It speaks of intimacy and protection. It speaks of a place of refreshing, coolness and rest. So when Psalm 91 talks about dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, that secret place is not a geographical location, but spiritual intimacy with our Lord Jesus. In the same way, the prayer of protection is not an incantation or some kind of magic chant that grants you protection. No, no, no. It is you valuing your position in Christ and your close relationship with Him and being found in that secret place with Him. Let's read Psalm 91 verse 2. I will say of the Lord, I am confident in what I'm saying of the Lord. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. The psalmist is letting us into a brilliant principle. You must say it. In what you say, faith is released. If you believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth, if you say with your mouth, you are saved. It shall be done. Say to the mountain, be removed and be thrown into the sea. So saying is very important. How you exercise your words and direct your words in prayer and in believing towards a particular focus point. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. So yeah, God is his refuge, God is his fortress, and he's going to trust in God, not in his circumstance. He's not going to focus on his circumstance, no matter how bleak it is, no matter how It drains you out, but it's not going to focus on, it's going to focus on God. He's going to place his all on God. He's going to trust with all his heart and believe in God. And I will say of the Lord, what are you saying of the Lord today, beloved? Are you saying he gave you the trouble you are presently in to teach you humility? Are you saying something, sometimes the Lord heals and sometimes he gives diseases? Are you saying these things? If you are saying these things about the Lord, then it's time to change what you believe about him. If you really believe that God is the author of your problems, would you really be running to him for help? My friend, let's be like the psalmist who declared, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, he is my God, and I will trust in him with all of my heart. The Hebrew word for refuge is a word, macheka, M-A-C-H-A-C-E-H, refers to a shelter from storms and danger. This shelter is like the bunkers that many Jews have in their homes in Israel today to shelter them from small-scale attacks. In the figurative sense, when you say the Lord is your macheka, you are also declaring that he is your place of hope. Now look at the verse again. The Lord isn't just your refuge, but he is also your fortress. In Hebrew, the word used for fortress is the word matsuad. It refers to a castle or a stronghold, a place of defense and protection against large-scale attacks. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Whatever you might be going through right now, you can declare that the Lord is your refuge and your fortress, your protection in both small as well as big attacks. He is your shelter from all danger and your place of hope. The Lord is your shelter from all danger and your place of hope. Perhaps you have not been saying that God is behind your troubles. Perhaps you have not been saying that that you are not saying anything about the Lord at all. Perhaps God seems far away and you feel cut off from him. If that is you, then I encourage you to take a break today from whatever you have to do on your busy to-do list, and simply take some time to dwell in his sweet presence. God is not distant. Sometimes we are just too distracted to hear his voice or sense his loving presence. So yeah, he's our refuge in small-scale attacks, and he is our fortress in large-scale attacks. In other words, he's able to withstand any attack that may come to you. He's a buffer. He provides that safe zone. He's our protection. He's our fence. He's our barrier. He's the one that faces the enemy first, because you are in him. You are in Christ, the shelter, your shelter and your secret place. Let's take a moment and see yourself in his secret place. Take a moment, see yourself walking into that secret place. See yourself right now as you close your eyes, you see yourself walking into Christ. This huge fortress, it cannot be penetrated, it cannot be brought down, it cannot be bombed, it cannot be attacked and win. It may attack, but every attack that comes against this fortress, every attack falls down dead. Every missile that comes from the enemy is diffused and rerouted away from it, because nothing and no one can withstand or stand against Christ, our fortress, Christ, our refuge. So take a moment and see yourself in his secret place. Abide under his shadow. Savor his presence. Amen. Savor his presence. Receive his wisdom. Find rest for your troubled soul. The feeling of being distant from God is only a feeling. Is only a feeling to feel distant from God. nothing more. He has promised in his word that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. Our Lord Jesus paid for you to have access to God's constant presence. At the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When God turned his back on him. You read that in Matthew 27, verse 46. He took our place and was rejected by God when he carried our sins, so that today we can take his place of being in the constant presence of the Father and take him as our refuge and our fortress. It's a good place to say amen. It's a good place to raise your hands. It's a good place right now to give him a clap offering wherever you are. Dearly beloved, today you can experience God's presence in your life. Say to yourself, the Lord is with me and I have his favor, blessings and protection. Sense his shadow covering you. His shadow is a picture of nearness. You are not trying to get into the secret place. You are already there in Christ by faith. In Christ, you can't get any closer to God. God showed Moses, the great patriarch, only his back parts. Exodus 33, verse 22. And 23. That's the old covenant. Because of man's failure, God was always departing, and the children of Israel only saw his back. The picture of the new covenant is God is sending his only son, Jesus Christ. It is a picture of the father running towards a prodigal son despite his failures. Under the new covenant, we are seated with our heavenly father in Christ, and we see the smile on his face. That is how close you are to God today. So even if your feelings tell you that God is a million kilometers away, learn to trust his word over your feelings. I say learn to trust his word over your feelings. Your feelings are not reliable. The word of God is totally reliable. It shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which it is sent forth to accomplish. All you need to do is to utter the words, Father or Abba. Keep uttering these words, Abba, Father. And immediately you will sense that he's closer than your own breath. Now, the one who is under spiritual covering is the one who is under God's authority. Adam and Eve enjoyed freedom and protection in the garden, under God's covering. However, the moment they disobeyed God by refusing his covering, the first thing they looked for is to cover themselves. What foolish decision and behavior. They refuse the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God, the presence of God, the covering of God. They refused that. And after they sinned by refusing the covering of God, they go out and they look for leaves to cover them as the first thing. In other words, it tells me that every human being is looking for some form of covering. The very thing they slipped out from is what they needed after sinning. So they took some fig leaves to cover themselves. Their disobedience to God's authority robbed the entire of mankind of protection. The expression fig leaf is widely used figuratively to convey the covering up of an act or an object that is embarrassing or distasteful with something of innocuous appearance. A metaphorical reference to the book of Genesis, in which Adam and Eve used fig leaves to cover their nudity after eating the forbidden fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It is said, when a believer rejects an authentic covering and instead chooses fig tree leaves to cover oneself, they will be found out. I have seen believers who despised a local house for an alternate without being sent, and how they have not taken off. I have noticed that believers who are not loyal because they cannot relate to delegated authority, how they plan their own demise. In Job 36, verse 11 and 12, this is what it says. If they obey and serve him, they will spend the rest of their days in prosperity. Obey and serve him. Obey and serve him. They will spend the rest of their days in prosperity and their years in contentment, which is pleasantness and joy. But if they do not listen, which is hearing and obeying, they will die by the sword. The word sword talks about God's destructive judgments. They will die by God's destructive judgments, and they shall die in ignorance without knowledge. Notice the promise, provision and protection in exchange for our submission to his authority. We will receive provision and protection when we learn how to submit to his authority. Also note the impending danger that accompanies our ignoring his government. One may say, I submit to God and not to man. Beloved, you cannot separate your submission to God's inherent authority from our submission to his delegated authority. All authority originates from him. Finally, Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And I want to close right here. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. May God bless you today as you digest this teaching. And I want you to be connected to all the teachings in this series so that you understand the sequence of these teachings and the importance of the scriptures that have been mentioned in this teaching. I want you to, throughout the week, go through this teaching again, pick up the scriptural references, open the Bible and see what the word is saying in depth. Read each scripture 3 or 4 times to find out exactly what God is saying through his word. Beloved, this is a very important topic because it's a model that God has laid down for us to follow. It's the pattern that Jesus followed while he was on the earth. And as he is, so are we. And so we have to follow the same principles that Jesus followed if we want to be successful for the rest of our time on the earth, if we want to leave a legacy, if we want to impart life to the next generation, our children and our grandchildren. We have to live the life that God wants us to live. So easy. He does everything for us. All he wants us to do is obey and serve him. So I bless you today. I pray that God's richest blessing would be with you, that God would touch you, that God would anoint you, and I pray that you will enjoy all of life in the name of Jesus. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.